meeting to order, please. Could we please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance?
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Just as a reminder, could everyone please turn their cell phones to silent or off? Can I have an approval of the agenda?
I move to approve the agenda.
I second.
Commissioner Davis.
Yes.
Secretary Martin.
Yes.
Treasurer Thompson.
Yes.
Vice President Barbas.
Yes.
President Christian.
Yes. Can I have an approval of the minutes for Tuesday, January 16th, 2018, with the amendment that was sent to us?
I so move.
I second.
Commissioner Davis?
Yes.
Secretary Martin?
Yes.
Treasurer Thompson?
Yes.
Vice President Barbas?
Yes.
President Christian?
Yes. And my understanding is we do not have the minutes from Tuesday, January 23rd, 2018.
That is correct.
Mr. Heath, you're next.
Okay.
PFMC.
I'll stand up here so I can kind of talk both ways. That's all right.
And as long as you speak loud enough to hit that.
Okay.
And I'd also like on the roll call to know that we have Jane Stebbins, one of our port council, on speakerphone right now.
Actually, I don't think we've done a roll call.
Hi, everybody.
Oh, how about a roll call?
Oh.
Danielle.
President Angie Christian.
Here.
Vice President Jan Barbas.
Here.
Treasurer Roger Thompson.
Yes.
Secretary Andy Martin.
Here.
Commissioner Roy Davis.
Here.
Attorney Jan Stebbins.
Jane. I am here.
All right, Richard.
Okay, thank you. So for the record, my name is Richard Heath. I'm on the Pacific Fisheries Management Council representing Oregon's port fishermen on the Salmon Advisory Subpanel. And I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about the alternatives that are now out for public review for this coming season, salmon season. I can tell you this is the most complicated year I've ever had. And that's saying a lot because, and I'll explain why. We begin this process with the forecast. The numbers in the ocean are forecast by the various state agencies. In this case, for Sacramento fish, there's 229,400 fish forecast to be out. For Klamath H3, 330,000. For Klamath H4, 28,400. And for Roe, 462,800. That forecast is higher than both the Sacramento and Klamath combined. And that has some significance as we get into this. So once we've done the forecast, then we go to the council meeting and begin the process. And the first process this year was for the council to notify the National Marine Fisheries Service that based on the last 3 year average of spawner escapement, both the Klamath and Sacramento are now declared overfished, which means that for next year we will start a rebuilding program. So they'll write a rebuilding plan and then we're going to have to follow whatever that plan is. Normally that means higher spawner escapement until we meet the two consecutive years where we're above minimum escape, and that gets us declared out of overfished status.
Richard?
So, yes.
What's the minimum escape on the Klamath? Still 40?
40,700. Sacramento is a range between 180,000 and 122,000, which, as I'll explain in a minute, is very significant this year. So once we have that, then we get what's called guidance from NOAA. They send us this letter, which is about 30 pages long. And it deals with all the stocks that have either minimum escapements or which are listed as endangered or threatened, and tells us basically what we have to manage too. So the guidance for the Sacramento River is the conservation objective for Sacramento River Fall Chinook in the Fisheries Management Plan specifies a range of 122,000 to 180,000 adult spawners. Given the circumstances, National Marine Fisheries Service believes that a risk-averse management approach should be adopted for 2018 by structuring potential fisheries to target an escapement around the upper end of the Sacramento River Falls Chinook Conservation Objective Range, meaning 180 thousand. That presented us a challenge to try and figure out how we were going to approach this. So, in what I would call, at least in my experience, an unprecedented event, California and Oregon SAS representatives and state people sat down and decide how we were going to approach that. So the approach we took is to develop one option that would have 151,000 fish escaping. The second option would have 165,000, and the third option would have 180,000. So we were trying to look at a range to let the public see what those three would be. So all the alternative ones that you see are built on 151,000. Alternatives two are 165, and alternative three is 180. In addition to that, again unprecedented, we agreed for this year on a sharing plan to give California 80% of the Sacramento fish that were available, and Oregon have 20%. And then we would divide that between sport and rec in each state. That's about what the average harvest rate is. About 80% of Sacramento origin fish are caught in California, and about 20 are caught here. So that's kind of how we started into this. So if you look in your package that you have, the first page that you have looks like this. And this talks about the commercial or troll season, the non-Indian troll season, and in the case for us, that is from Humbug Mountain to the Oregon-California border. In alternative one, it's May 9 through 31. Alternative two is June 7 through the early of June 30 for a 1,500 Chinook quota. July 8 through the earlier of July 31st for a 2,000 Chinook quota. And August 1st through the earlier of August 15th for a 500 Chinook quota. That's the best case. Alternative two is June 12th through the earlier of June 30 or 1,500 Chinook quota. July 13th through the earlier of July 31st or a 2,000 Chinook quota. And August 1st through the earlier of August 15th or a 500 Chinook quota. Alternative three is quota. The next page you have in there is the recreational season alternatives. For the Humbug Mountain to the Oregon-California border, the Oregon portion of the climate management zone, alternative one is May 19th through August 26th. Alternative two is June 1 through 17, July 1 through 15, August 4 through 12. Alternative three is May 19th through July 4th. So that's the proposal. That's up for public comment. There is a meeting on May 26th, next Monday night at Coos Bay at 7 o'clock at the Red Lion, where the PFMC sends staff and members of the council to take public comment. So if people want to comment on this, that's the time and place. You can do that verbally. If you want to send a letter in, you can do that. It needs to get in pretty quickly because our next meeting is the first week in April when we actually finish this off and set the seasons. So if you have comments, things you'd like to see that aren't in there, let them know.
Can you also send emails, Richard?
You can't send emails. If you get on the council website, pcouncil.org will get you to the council website, and there's a little spot up there that says how to contact us, and they'll explain that to you. So one of the questions I've been asked quite a bit is, why no Labor Day? So Labor Day is expensive for us because we have really high climate impact in Labor Day. But if they're caught after the 1st of September, they don't count against this year. Those are what are called, in our language, credit card fish. Those fish actually get counted against next year's opportunity. the way that works is in the fisheries management plan, the council declared that September 1st is the birthday for Klamath River fish. So anything that's in the ocean after September 1st is considered a year old. So all threes become fours and all twos become three. The thing that usually bites us on our fisheries here are Klamath four-year-olds. Klamath four-year-olds are not listed, but they are a surrogate for listed California coastal Chinook stock. So that's the conservation measure that was put in place for those fish, was to hold us accountable for Klamath four. I don't want to get too complicated with this, but anyway, that's what came out of that process. So then we have another page at the end of this, which you don't have, which lists returns. This is a model run, and I should tell you, when I'm talking to you right now, I'm talking to you about paper fish. These are forecast fish that are all run through a modeling process that gets all the numbers put down on paper so we can see what the impacts actually are. In the case of Sacramento and Klamath, we're charged an impact rate. That's not a number of fish, that's a percentage of the fish that we're harvesting. And the way that's developed is they look at the number of landed coated wire tag fish that they can identify specifically by stock. They then divide that by the total landings plus escape to come up with a impact rate. All right, to show you how that sounds, in the case of Sacramento, Fall River, Chinook, when we ran the model on that option one, which is May 19th through August 26th, our contact rate in May is 3.15, in June it's 3.43, in July it's 6.09, and in August it's 4.5. All that really is telling you is about when you expect to see a lot of fish, Sacramento fish, being caught here. For me, if we get guidance that we have to cut, then I'll go back and take those numbers and decide which way we want to go, and then start adding days until I run out of contact. Okay. So one of the concerns that I have is that guidance being squishy, I guess is the best way to put it. Normally, when I come here and tell you option one model, we're good to go. Not this year, because we don't know what National Marine Fisheries Service is going to come back and tell us. We have to manage too. So the process is between public comment, and then this hall goes through an economic analysis by the council staff. That all comes out in April, so they're going to look at that. And I'm sure what they're going to do is look at the benefit that would be obtained by having high escapement versus what it would cost in terms of the economic impact and the number of fishing days for all the communities on the coast, and come up with a judgment. So that's kind of why in our strategy for dealing with this, we picked those three numbers, those three ranges, to give them a good look. 151,000 is quite a bit above 122. So we're still showing some conservation effort there. In terms of the Klamath, they're going to allow us to manage down to 40,700 escapement. They added fish in the river because we have to take the river fisheries out of this also. So they added fish in the river, knowing they weren't going to be caught by the river fishery, so they would go to escapement. That's kind of a way to give the ocean more opportunity. It gives the tribes more fish to catch because they get 50%. So it's kind of a benefit that way.
Yes. What's one tag, Klamath tag count for credit card fishery, 50?
It depends on the year. These change by year, because the way this model works is you put all kinds of inputs into it, including abundance of sacramentals, abundance of Klamath. So it looks at the ratio between Klamath and sacramentals to kind of break down what you would expect to catch. I can tell you that 2 years ago we had one Klamath fish caught in October during the bubble fishery. The following year that was the equivalent of 20 fish. So we had to take that 20 off the beginning before we could do anything else. So again, it kind of shifts around, but that is an expensive fishery in terms of Klamath impacts for us and paying the bill next year. You know, I know there's a great deal of interest in the Klamath Salmon Derby. My recommendation after doing this is I think the Klamath Salmon Derby is a great idea, just don't do it in September. I would recommend sometime in July as being probably the most dependable period in which we could expect to have something, and probably the better fishing is in July. one. That's better than September's report.
I had a question about the coho season. I know there's a lot of restrictions with impacts on the Sacramento fish and the Klamath fish. There's a coho, the options call for a coho season north of Humbug Mountain. How come there isn't an option for one south of Humbug?
Well, honestly, I didn't ask for one for two reasons. First of all, we've got real low abundance of coho comparatively. Oregon coastals are in trouble, so they're usually what impacts us. But what actually happened, and I'm really glad I didn't ask, is when we started running all these numbers, and when California added big sport fisheries into the zone, then we went over our allowable impact rate on southern Oregon, northern California coastal stocks, where we're capped at a 13% exploitation rate. So the first time we ran these numbers, that was at 19%. So in order to cut back, we had to shift a huge amount of fishery out of the zone in order to make that. We were held harmless because we had no coho fishing at all. So the other thing that enters into this, from my perspective, is that huge number of rogue fish. I mean, that's a lot of fish. And those are going to be going by us in July and August. So what we tried to do, particularly on, and I don't do commercial, that's not my thing, but I do sit and listen and advise occasionally. What they tried to do was stack as much fishing here in July and August as we could to try and take advantage of those fish. So if we have to restructure what I've read for you and come up with a different idea, at least my thought at this point is I'm going to try and load as much into July and August as I can to try and get us the best opportunity we can get to get at those fish.
Now, does the council consider when there's a abundance of rogue fish and we're in close proximity to the rogue that we may be catching a higher number of rogue fish? Do they take that into account on the impacts on Sacramento fish or Klamath fish?
We hope so. One of the arguments that we'll make to National Marine Fisheries Service is just that in both the California and Oregon portion of the zone, those fish, if you don't know, our fish, when they hit the ocean, turn left. So they end up down off of Fort Bragg. That's where they grow up. So when they're coming north. Every other stock in the Pacific Ocean, when it hits the ocean, turns right. So everything north of us goes up into Canada. So the majority of fisheries impacts on those fish, Columbia River fish, for example, are caught very heavily off the west coast of Vancouver Island and in southeast Alaska. Fortunately, we don't have to run that gauntlet with ours, but we do have to get them through California. So with that sort of an idea, California also structured one of their seasons to load up the northern area in July and August. Now, if you look at California's alternatives, they're done entirely differently than ours are. Their alternative one loaded a lot of fishing in the San Francisco Bay Area to take advantage of Sacramento fish. Their alternative two splits it right down the middle, and their alternative three puts a lot of fishing in the north. So, that was their strategy to start this out.
Yeah, Richard, of all the years being on the Klamath Coalition, I've never seen the zone split this differently.
Well, California made the decision 3 years ago to go away from us. Which is good for us because their impacts on Klamath fish are much higher, so it's okay for us to not.
And the other thing, Klamath has that zone around the mouth too.
Right. Yeah, there's a closure around the mouth of the Klamath River that restricts all fishing. So that's as much as I can tell you. If you have input, send it to the council probably as soon as you can. And that goes on the record. If you're interested in September fishing, even though I don't have it in this package, which normally precludes them from considering it, if that comes up as part of public comment, then we can put that right back out there again.
Richard, do you mind answering questions from the audience?
I just got a question. What happened on the preliminary options for the commercial? There was a fishery around the road from MacArthur to Northwest.
Well, we looked at that, but the reality of that is you can't model that separately. So if you're going to have a fishery open in the zone at all, it's going to look at the whole zone. So we just said, well, there's no sense writing all this language in there to restrict you to a bubble. Let's just open the zone, and you can go fish where you want.
All right. Yeah, I just curious about that.
So that'll over beyond the 40-fathom mark, that's what you're talking about.
Well, I don't know about that. Let's see. Did you see that in that?
It's not in this pack. It's okay. In the old one.
All right. Then I don't think you'll have a restriction there. You thought of that book.
Any other commissioners have questions or comments?
Yeah. So I'm wondering, so it's March 26th that there's a meeting in Coos Bay. Do we have any commissioner planning to attend?
I'm going.
You are going, Andy? Okay.
I have a city council meeting.
Okay. I have an early flight out of Medford the next day, so I don't prefer not to. But if Andy's going, I think we have one. And then does the commission want to take any particular position on Labor Day? At this time, I do not believe we have any application for Slam and Salmon.
I literally just got one this evening, or this afternoon.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. So we do have an application. So I don't have a position on it. I'm listening to Richard and hearing that it's pretty expensive on next year's budget.
So this year, we've got a lot of Klamath three-year-olds out there.
Can you speak up, please?
I'm sorry. We've got a lot of Klamath three-year-olds in the ocean. So normally what bites us with fours probably won't. But we're going to be in rebuilding status, which means that the more fish we can get back to escapement this year helps raise the average, and that'll also help us next year on the rebuilding plan. So that's why I didn't ask for September this year, because it just looks to me, at least from my experience, it would be somewhat problematic to do that. You might shoot yourself in the foot while trying to have a three-day fishery.
Typically in September, we catch a lot of Trinity fish. A lot of Trinity fish.
I'd like to know if the board is interested in sending a letter from the board in support of number one.
So I was going to make a motion to write a letter, and I wrote this right before I came here to the meeting. Let me pass that down. Basically a letter that says that the port supports option one, alternative one, for both the commercial season and the sport season. The difference in days, option one is a 100-day season, option two is a 41-day season, option three is a 47-day season. Also, if you look at the options for south of us, the season between the border and San Francisco won't open until mid-June and possibly mid-July. So if the Southern Oregon coast has the first salmon season that's open for people that are Redding, Chico, the Rogue Valley, the businesses here, visitor-related businesses, have a chance to draw visiting anglers away from areas where they normally go, Trinidad or Fort Bragg and so forth. And we talked about the obviously the Slam and Salmon Derby in around Labor Day has a positive economic benefit for our area, but a 100-day season where people can plan a vacation and visit Brookings to fish and know that there's a season possibly from mid-May through late August, I think that would have the best benefit economically. And then also for people who live in Brookings and like to fish for salmon, a 100-day season, you can pick the days where the weather's nice and the fish are here and go out instead of going out in a big swell when there's no fish. So I make a motion to support alternative one for the recreational and alternative one for the commercial troll season.
I second it.
Do we have any discussion? Danielle?
Commissioner Davis?
Yes.
Secretary Martin?
Yes.
Treasurer Thompson?
Yes.
Vice President Barbas?
Yes.
President Christian?
Yes.
One more thing.
Yes, please.
On the agenda?
Yes.
Last Friday, the Fish and Wildlife Commission approved the RNA grant that the South Coast fishermen had submitted to redo the cleaning station, so we're good to go.
Thank you very much.
I anticipate probably we won't get all the stuff piled and ready to go until April, mid-April. And at that time, we'll want to talk to staff about what our alternatives are for maybe closing that for a couple of days to let us get in there and get after it. So.
I won't remember to get a hold of me about the piping.
Andy? It's something I didn't mention. Last year, with the salmon season being closed, there was a lot more impact on rockfish. And another reason to support alternative one instead of trying to get a Labor Day season and chip away from alternative one, there's going to be more impact on bottom fish. But if a salmon season is open, that takes pressure away from the bottom fish, especially early in the year, and it will help reduce the chance of going over the new rockfish allocation.
So are you wanting us to approve this letter for you to present? We've supported alternative one for both, so you're welcome, I think, at the meeting to say that the board has done so, but if you want this letter approved, that would be another motion, I think, subject to the signature.
Has everybody got a chance to read the letter?
Yes, I have. Has everyone else had a chance to read the letter? I'll make a motion to approve the letter with the change of Port of Brookings Harbor Board of Commissioners at the bottom.
Second that.
And then under discussion, if we can just have the port staff put that on our letterhead, and the email is already on it to submit it to the PFMC.
Do you have a copy? Pass that now to Danielle, please.
You have it by email, you can give
it. I'll email it to her tonight.
And one other comment, I know the City of Brookings City Council will be doing the same thing Monday night.
Any other discussion before roll call? Danielle?
Commissioner Davis?
Yes.
Secretary Martin?
Yes.
Treasurer Thompson?
Yes.
Vice President Barbas?
Yes.
President Christian?
Yes. Thank you very much, Richard. The Port of Brookings Harbor will now hold an executive session. The executive session, This executive session of the Port of Brookings Harbor Board of Directors is called pursuant to ORS 192.660-2H to consult with counsel concerning legal rights and duties regarding current litigation and litigation likely to be filed. Any member of the media that is here may remain. However, the board will require that any information derived from this meeting may not be disclosed pursuant to ORS 192.6604. So if I could ask all of you to step outside, and we will let you know when we're out of executive session.